Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Dr. Cappuccino, host and your friend of the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You know, we've been really having a great show every week, and you're showing up every Saturday big time. We have Colonel Dr. He calls himself also Reverend Harrison, William Harrison, and he's been adding a lot of flavor and a lot of just greatness to the show. And I know you guys love him because you keep sending me emails and you're calling, you're doing something. So you know what? I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. But you know, before you say I do, there are some things that you need to know. There's some things you need to realize. And of course, there's some things that you better do before you say I do. What should you say? What should you do? Well, you know what? You probably need to do a lot of crying too before you say I do. But the main reason why we keep emphasizing this show is because so many reports are coming in that men are throwing brides-to-be over bridges. Some are, you know, stabbing them 1,000 times. Some are just beating them beyond recognition. Policemen and the clergymen are saying that they've never seen anything like this before, men turning on women. Well, you know what? I call that part of the Eve complex. Way back in the soul of man, man is probably sorry for some of the things that he did coming out of the gate. Coming out of the gate of humanity. And of course, you know, they have a tendency to blame women, and they've done it from times gone by. But we're going to explore some of the other real, more concrete, everyday reasons why really, truly, every man and every woman need to step back and think about what it is they're doing when they're choosing a mate and getting ready to spend their whole life with that mate, or at least part of their lives. Before you say I do, part three. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning? We're going to get right into the show. Are you with us today? It's 2 minutes after 8 and we're ready to go. Are you with us today?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. I am with you. And thanks again for the invite and just happy to be a part of the radio talk show again this morning. Yes.
Yay. Many are saying, Doctor, where did that man get that voice? And so I want you to use that voice to give us some power for living and some power of understanding why we need to be very cautious before we put our hand and heart into someone else's. Now, I mentioned just seconds ago that there's a lot of crimes being committed against women. Many are being committed against men. But the men tend to get first place when it comes to domestic violence and wife beating, wife battering, killing of kids, infanticide. I mean, oh my God, you guys get the number one medal for that. And there's a reason why. Why are men so angry? Women say, you know, I want to marry him. I want to be with him. I want to spend my life with him. Doctor, he's so angry. He's mean. I can't say anything to get along with him. I can't make him happy. Day or night. What is wrong with our men when it comes to being in a committed relationship or even getting involved in one?
It's a multiplicity of things, meaning there are many things that are wrong with certain men, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. Number one, if a man doesn't have some form of security and not at peace with himself and doesn't have a secure job, doesn't have a roof over his head, doesn't have family that loves him, unemployed, those type men become vulnerable, and they feel they've been victimized by society or victimized by the governmental system. And it runs the spectrum. It's primarily toward a certain race that has this problem more than others, but it affects every race, every culture, every category. But men have to feel that their self-worth, they're worth something, someone loves them. Then they're willing to go out and work and provide and do what they need to do, whether they're married or single. So I think self-esteem or self-worth is the number one thing of having a person value themselves, whether it's man or woman, most of them in men, because men have egos, and we need to have those egos fulfilled. Otherwise, we feel like we're worthless and we're not worth our salt.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think I heard something similar to that, and I think women play a central part in, you know, helping men create within themselves self-esteem, you know, high confidence. Yes, I can do it. Yes, I can get it. Yes, I can have it. Yes, I need it, and it's right before me. I think those kind of personalities are shaped by women that come into their lives. But you mentioned that race might have to do with an issue of men not really, you know, wanting to, you know, lay their feelings out there and try to make sure they're understood by their mate or their prospective mate. What does race have to do with it? You know, it's like Tina said, what's that all got to do with it? yay. Okay, why is that? I think you were leaning toward the black man or the black male. Were you leaning toward him as one that has a low amount of self-esteem and really not emotionally mentally equipped if he's in that shape to get involved in a relationship? Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, Doc. And you, excuse me, based on your academic credentials and achievement, certainly you understand this perhaps better than I and maybe some of our listening audience. But with regards to the Afro-American male, they feel disenfranchised. And they feel disenfranchised, and I don't want to take our subject this morning out of context, but they feel disenfranchised because it's harder for an Afro-American male to get a qualitative education and job than it is for males of another race. And it has to do with the heritage of the Afro-Americans in general. Which the time and the show will not allow, and I don't want to change the context again. But if you do the statistics, there's a stigma that have been imposed on Afro-American males in general. They're shiftless. They don't want to work. They hang out on the corners. They do drugs. They drink liquor. They're wife beaters. While there are some in the Afro-American race that fit that description, not everyone. We have good and bad in every race, every nationality. We have good and bad. But then if you do the statistics and you look at the Federal Bureau of Prison population, you'll find that the Afro-American male percentage is higher than any other male that are in the federal prison institution. So there is some inequities in society toward Afro-American males based on their heritage, based on their ancestry. And so Afro-American males, we have to strive harder and more diligently and more purposefully to achieve certain standards wherein other races may not have to strive as hard because of the stigma that society has put out there on this particular race. And I know it to be true, I know it to be a fact, and I'm an Afro-American male speaking. I'll pause.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. It sort of sounds like that. Let's take the African-American male. And you're on the air, and I know some might want to disagree with you on that because it seems like you're saying because the African-American male has been disenfranchised and he's a hard sell for jobs and he's walking around shiftless. That's true. Statistics show that. Statistics show that the African American male is suffering, but there comes a time and a point where we can't blame that as a reason for them beating the women, killing the children, killing themselves. That was unheard of even 25 years ago. You didn't hear about black males committing suicide like they are now.
You didn't hear about them beating up their women, killing their grandmothers and all of that. This has to be also, we have to put drugs and the ability to get drugs into that picture. And the black male is not the only one, of course, doing drugs. But it seems like you're saying that because the black male is, appears to have gotten the short end of the stick in society, that that gives him an edge to go around and kill and destroy, even destroy his own self through drugs and his property. You know, you have now some very educated males that don't fit that description. So if you find some men that tend to be walking the streets shapeless, shiftless, no jobs, or you know, everywhere I go, help one, help one. But I think we can't shift it, and I'm going on to this earlier. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming back to this. I don't think we can shift the fact that the black male probably did not get the education he needed or wanted, or didn't get involved in the right family, wasn't born into the right circumstances. I don't think we can use that as a reason why the black man is going around, and the statistics are very high that they are the ones now committing mostly the domestic violence, that black men are committing some horrible crimes. And while there's institutions set up for counseling and to destructure the mentality of black men, there are studies of that. But I don't think we want to say that because he didn't get an extra piece of bacon that he's going to grow up and go out and start beating up on women and killing people. And the majority of those shooting at cops, they're black. So I think someone needs to rise up on the stage of life and kind of get into the psychosis and psychometry of the black male. What is he doing now? Grandma would tell him, you know better. Don't go out there doing that. And I think, and I praise and think very highly of the African-American grandmothers that prayed, stayed on their knees, that he wouldn't get shot down because he was almost a natural-born criminal. He was stealing at 5. He was raping people at 9. He was trying to shoot people at 11. I mean, there's some historic facts, and I know as a former chief of police, you've seen a lot. But before the black man says, I do, or even thinks about bringing someone else into their life, black man, white, Chinese, whatever, all of us need to have counseling. And I don't know if you remember that, that there was a time where you couldn't even get married unless you showed up with some blood tests, because they were running those tests to see if you were O going with O, if you were A going with A, because your B blood type going with B. And we can look back, it wasn't a lot of criminality in the family. Men were going out to war, World War II and III, Vietnam War, Korean War, Cambodian War, Even then, you did not see a lot of problems. And it's unfortunate that the black man is suffering still, high statistics of crime fall in his backyard. But we must remember, when the African-Americans were brought over here to the American shores, they were ignorant and illiterate, and they were sold out by their own. So we need to shatter that window there. They were sold out by their own, and then, of course, you know, they came here, they worked, but after the work was done, there was no plan. There was no battle plan of action for them. There was no, wait, what do we do with you now plan on the table. The British men were gorgeous, beautiful, had ruffles, worn every day, long, curly wigs. They, that concept of the African-American now, stout, black, you know, short hair, no hair, hair you can get a brush through. Now I'm going somewhere with that, and we could spend a lot of time on this. But what do we do with these people? What do we do? We don't want to eat with them, sit with them, sit in a church with them. What do we do with these people that built 16 townships, even coming out of slavery? What do we do with them? There was no plan. So now you got a melting pot of British, English provocateurs, and you have the African-American men and women here looking both sides. Well, who am I? What do I do? That infestation of hatred on both sides has got us where we're at now. But I don't believe, even genetically speaking, that the plight of the black man or the African-American male is the reason why they're killing everybody. They're killing themselves. They're killing their families. They're killing police officers. They're killing their wives. They're killing their kids. I don't know if that has any correlation, but after 400 years, Frederick Douglass, I'm just naming him for one and others, these people have rose up above it all. Look at Dr. Cornell West. Look at all the doctors, Henry L. Gates. These men, black African Americans too, they rose to the top of economics and education. They're not doing that. So I think there's something else that very highly favored Minister Colonel Harrison. I think this is a topic that we should probably have an hour there because it's 8:16 now, but I think we're on to something. But to zero in on one race, I think every man of every color and every woman of every color and descent should look at, am I ready to share my life with someone else? And, of course, now this is the touchy subject that we're on. I think the women would do themselves justice at looking back on, well, who is this man? How did he grow up? Was he poor when he grew up? That's going to be a problem. Was he hungry most of the time growing up? That's going to be a problem with food and security issues. Was he sick? Was he beaten like a dog 2 times a week and starved 1 night a week? I mean, these are things that will make for a harmonization in a relationship. You don't want to get with anybody that has serious issues that even they themselves haven't, they've been too busy to uncover what is really at the root of how they feel. And when I hear that, that there's a slant there, I get very nervous because the scripture says that all are not any good. All. The whole world is under the dominion of the wicked one. I hear that none are good. No, not one. So I don't feel comfortable. And this is no taunt on you. The thinking of one race, that race, whatever color it is, black or white, look at the Chinese, for instance. They're the richest nation, all goods, everything you pick up made in China. Look at them. Just study their history, how they rose. You know how they rose? Being resourceful, working 18 hours a day, unifying themselves against the so-called enemy. They're now next to Russia. China has just written, they're putting some heavy threats on the table to the U.S. So we can use that country. We can look around it as a disenfranchised races and see, did they stay down or did they fight their way up? Now, I can understand about the black male. As I said, nowhere to put him, nowhere to go. Nobody wanted to be bothered with him. But something was in himself. The developers of the so-called black religionists, something within them, and I don't know if that could be possible with ignorant fathers, ignorant grandfathers, couldn't read or write. I mean, we got to factor this stuff in, so I don't think it's anyone to blame. The white man brought them over to America. They did what they were told to do. Yes, they were beaten. Yes, this and that. That day is over with. Education trumps a bad memory. So I think I'm hearing, are you saying, Pastor, that no one should marry the black man, or the black man shouldn't even think about marriage because of his heritage, because of that? Like, please explain that.
No, I'm not saying that, Doc. Absolutely not. What I'm saying is that there's been shortcomings, there's been handicapped, and society in general hasn't been fair toward them. Afro-American male, but with regards to marriage, which is respectfully our subject, I've found that...
No. I just heard something. You said no one has been fair to the African-American. I'm here. We are going to pick up. Hey, you guys. Yeah. I see the dashboard clicking. Thank you. Listen to this now. Right now, 2019, let's skip 1692. Let's forget the 400 years. Right now, there's free food, free dental, free medical, free therapy, free mental health care. There's free everything for anybody that wants to be helped. Anyone that I wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm tired of being a sucker. I'm tired of being a fool. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out of here. And there's even a biblical stand that will clarify what I just said. I think it was two lepers or someone of that character was sitting there. And they talked amongst themselves and said, well, you know what, if we sit here, we die. If we go out and get some food, we die. So we're going to get them, get out of here. So it comes to the point, no, the whole world is under the power of Satan. So no one is being treated any worse than the others. The money trumps what I just said. So if we talk about, again, if we keep concentrating on the African-American male, he's this, he's that. The African-American male has it better today than he ever has had it. But for some reason, this disenfranchisement, it might be somewhat true what you're saying, but the black man, African, or whatever he wants to call himself, he has got to rise. But look at the African nations, Zimbabwe, Uganda, those blacks over there. They don't even call themselves African American. They don't even like that title. They're wealthy over there. They're very rich, very, very wealthy, absolutely over the top. What can we say about them? That migration started there. But the African nation that sold everybody off that's black, look at them now. Look at them. Even China is over there trying to get in on their wealth. The very a place where this thing started, that starts with an S, slavery. So can we in 2019, can we forget, lay the crosses down, lay the knives down, the emotional knife, and stop the blame game and say now the black man has to stand up on his own two feet and the black man has to help the black man? They aren't doing that in America. These NFL, NBA, all these people got all kind of money. They're not thinking of putting a dime back in the African-American community. Look at the drought. Everywhere you go where African-Americans live, it's slutty, it's dirty, it's poverty-ridden. Where is all of these so-called other African-Americans? They're not thinking about them. So I think rather than blame the white man, we need to look into our own race. Blacks spend trillions of dollars a year. Most of it on food and hair care, false hair. So that in itself tells a story. Are we trying to buy ourselves out of bad feelings or whatever and then put this on someone else? If it was me, I probably wouldn't marry any African-American until they had some counseling and I looked into their background as a legalized judge and marriage counselor. I would not stand up there and have one or two counseling sessions and say yes, because this kind of burdensome thought, that's in the Akashic records, that's way down in the ancestral DNA of a black man and of a black woman. Now, we're not just, this show is not about blacks, just talking about black men, black women. This is about anyone joining forces and then, here comes the joining of a seed and an egg. Here comes another one 9 months later. Just as messed up internally or worse, because that same thinking is in that child, that same way of processing what has gone wrong with the particular, it's still there. The Akashic record just goes down through generation, generation. So as a former chief of police, I think I'm hearing you were assigned to a predominantly black area. Is that true, Colonel? You were in a black area as a cop?
Yeah. Integrated. It was integrated the community that that I had the jurisdiction over in terms of law enforcement safety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, right now, for all intents and purposes, we want to reach every man, Mexican, white man, Japanese man, black man, Native American man. We want to talk universally, and we want to talk nationality when it comes to anyone getting with someone, and then, oops, there's a problem. You can't get along. You don't want to get along. You really don't see eye to eye, but you don't. That doesn't come out until the rubber hits the wire. I think before, now it's one thing just to walk and talk, you fall in love. But I think, me personally, it would be best before I would say I do, and I've been married 3 times. My thing is that, hey, I need to look at exactly how I got involved with the person. What was it that I was feeling lacking with him? Because when you actually want to get married, you're looking for something that you don't have. You fall in love, but you want to compliment each other. Well, I don't have a personality, but I have this. I don't have this money, but I have that. I don't have her looks, but I have this. And so forth and so on, because, you know, these marriages should be and were originally meant to be lifetime things. You marry me, you die with me. That was the way it was. But because things have changed, and oh, my goodness. I mean, people are not really thinking in terms of a lifetime of anything. Two or three days or one night stand or something like that. So right now, Pastor, let's talk about 3 things that we want to look into very quickly for anyone standing before me getting ready to say, I do. What should they look at?
Well, one, I think they should look at the character of the person. They need to know who this person is and what their ways are and so forth and so on before they commit to him. Don't become blind. The character. I'm thinking they should look at the character of the person. Number one.
Okay. And well, we got 3. So yes, number one. Let's hear another. Your former chief of police and your minister. What would be another?
Number two. This person's family background.
Okay. Number three.
Number three, whether this person is working and has work ethics.
Okay, working work ethics. Okay, that is a new one for me, because right now there's an article saying black women are not looking at men unless they have a 2-3-4 year degree. I just saw that somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to be doing a publication on it. So that's right, work ethic, okay, that he's willing to work. So I never heard that before. And, you know, I think they're looking at whether or not, you know, he's going to be a good father, whether or not, as you mentioned, the family background, because right now, you know, big companies are laying off men thousands at a time. So good work ethics. Well, I'd want him to have a business, specifically. I don't want him going to work, you know, he can get fired the next week. But, you know, I think I would look into the windows, you know. Does he have enough qualified education to start his own business? But we're going to pick up on this. Hey, before I say I do, or before you say I do, tune in next week. You're going to hear from Colonel Hudson again. Colonel, say yes. And God bless you. Have a great weekend. I'm going to try to do that. And listen, any questions you have, you can always reach us at MotherNature7@gmail.com, and you can always reach the Colonel at his phone number directly to him is 202-330-6630. Is that right, Colonel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
God bless you all. Thank you, Colonel, for being with us. We love you. Okay, you guys, have a great weekend. You've been on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Thank you. Thank you.